All right, we will continue with registries and registrars, and our first speaker is Steve, who will talk about registrar basics. Is that correct, Steve?
Is it on? Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be concentrated on registrars, and then Carla will talk more about the registry side.
Thank you.
How do I do to move?
You can use this. Just click on this and it will advance. Yeah.
So when you...
We will start in a minute. Okay. So when someone wants to register a domain name, I'm going to focus here on the GTLD domain names, so the ones with extensions like .com, .net, .info. Different parties are involved, so at the top of the pyramid, you have the registry, which is the organization that runs the TLD, the TLD being the top-level domain, what you have at the right of the dot. My colleague Carla will make a more specific presentation about the registries, how they work, and so on. But in any case, for all GTLDs, and it's also the case for a good number of country code top-level domains, when you want to register a domain name, you don't directly submit a request to the registry. There will be another entity in between, which is the registrar. So why a registrar? Why is it not possible in most of the cases to go directly to the registry? And even if it's possible, why is it a plus-value to register a domain name via a registrar? First of all, because there is a choice between a lot of registrars, thus a competition between them, which means a registrar that suits the needs of every kind of consumers, and cheaper prices, of course. Another reason is that when you register a domain name, most of the time you don't just want a domain name. Problem is, if you register a domain name directly with the registry, if it was possible to do so in all cases, you would just get a domain name without nothing else. But most of the time, you also want to redirect the domain name to an existing website, or you want a web hosting package or a mail hosting package with the domain name. And that's why you're going to choose a registrar, because a lot of them are providing that kind of service, which you can purchase with your domain name so that your domain name is ready to use. So you don't just make a registration of a domain name, but you buy a whole package for using it. You will get a personalized support in your language and time zone. It wouldn't be the case if you had to register your domain name directly with the registry operator. You would have to take into account the time zone of that registry, the language they support, which would be the local language plus maybe one or two other ones. But now, if you use a registrar, you can choose a registrar close to your location that suits your need, that will provide you with support in your language, in your time zone. And another advantage, of course, is that if you want to register a bunch of domain names with different top-level domains after the dot, most of the registries, they are just registry for one TLD, sometimes a bit more. But if you want, for example, to register a domain name within 20 different TLDs, if you choose a registrar that is accredited for all these TLDs, then you will be able to register all your domain names at the same place, which is an advantage for you. There are still other benefits in doing the registration via a registrar. So basically, who can be a registrar? If we consider the generic top-level domains, every entity that wants to be a registrar for generic top-level domains needs to become, first of all, ICANN accredited. I'm not going to explain here the process of becoming ICANN accredited. It's not the purpose of this presentation, but if you have any question about that topic, just come and find me. I'm here until Friday morning. So the company needs to be ICANN accredited first. Then, once it has become accredited, it has to enter into a registry-registrar agreement with the registry whose TLD the registrar is interested in. Then, what about country code top-level domains? You don't need to be ICANN accredited to become a registrar for a CCTLD. The ICANN accreditation only covers GTLDs. So you would need to contact the relevant registry operator, and a consistent number of registry operators for CCTLDs have adopted a system where you also need to go through a registrar. And for CCTLDs, each operator determines the rules and procedure it applies for accrediting registrars. So contractual relationship, let's come back to the first figure. So you have the registry, the registrar, the registrant. As you can see, there is an agreement between the registry and the registrar, which is the registry-registrar agreement. And when you register a domain name, you will enter into a registration agreement with the registrar. Then as far as CCTLDs are concerned, and that's where ICANN comes into the game, each GTLD registry operator has entered into a registry agreement with ICANN. And this is also the case for each ICANN accredited registrar. They have entered into a registrar accreditation agreement with rights and obligations, most of them being for actually protecting the registrants. Then in this registrar accreditation agreement, according to them, the registrars are also required to comply with consensus policies, which are also described on the ICANN website. One of them, for example, being the inter-registrar transfer policy, which is very important because that's the one that is taken into account when you want to transfer your GTLD domain name from a registrar to another one. So let's come back to the figure. Then you may have that situation. I haven't talked about them yet, but not only ICANN accredited registrars are offering domain name registration services, there are also entities that are not ICANN accredited, and for some reasons they cannot or don't want to be ICANN accredited registrar. So they enter into a reseller agreement with an existing registrar. So in this case, you can see the registrant has an agreement with the reseller and the reseller with the registrar. But even in that situation, there is still a registration agreement between the registrant and the registrar, which is important because that sets rights and obligations to both parties and that protects the registrants. What about CCTLDs? The rules may vary between the CCTLDs, so I'm not going to give any example here. If you want more information about what applies to a specific CCTLD, you should contact the relevant operator, and I have put the link here. This presentation will be on the icon on the Prague meeting website, so you can always check it later. Choosing a registrar, we have a website, internic.net, where you have a list of all ICANN accredited registrars. Once again, that concern the GTLDs. Here, as you can see, some of them have a 2009 RAA logo. It's because there are now two versions of the registrar accreditation agreement. Most of the registrars having already entered the new version, which has new provisions that add some additional protection to the registrant. There is a problem. When can ICANN help? ICANN can address violations of a registry agreement by a registry, violations of a RAA by a registrar, or violations of a consensus policy by a registry or registrar. So everything in these agreements. But there are other issues ICANN cannot address, ownership issues. There is a policy to settle that, or you have to go to court. Contractual issues between registrants, registrars, and all resellers, and CCTLD issues. As I said, the ICANN accreditation only concerns the GTLDs. Then issues regarding all that has to do with the use of domain names, website contents, spams, and so on. This is not under the competence of ICANN. If you want to get more information, the Internic website for the list of registrars. You have the registrar section of the ICANN website, and you can also send an email to registrar@icann.org if you have additional questions. Thank you. Yes? You have the mic.
No, we have to have the microphones for the questions, so those remote participants can also follow. That's why.
Excuse me. Who got the ability to go before the ICANN and for the complaints, I mean? When a registrant, does he have the right to go before the ICANN?
Yes, if the registrants think that, for example, a registrar has breached any provision of the registrar accreditation agreement or any consensus policy, the registrant can contact ICANN and submit a complaint against the concerned registrar.
Okay, thank you.
Right. First year, and then I will follow.
Mm-hmm. Good. Ronald Schwerzlam, CEO of .win GmbH, company that applied for the .win new GTLD. Hopefully we get this new GTLD somewhere in the future. Then we have to find registrars. Mm-hmm. As far as I understand, we have to accept any ICANN accredited registrar that has an agreement with ICANN to be able to register domains under the new GTLD. So any ICANN accredited registrar can sell .win or new GTLD domains.
Yes, every ICANN accredited registrar will have the possibility to add any new GTLDs that will be created in the future to its own accreditation.
Okay. So we have to accept any of accredited registrar. Can we accept non-accredited registrars?
You will not be able to provide the services via companies that are not ICANN accredited. Now, under the current system, there are sponsored top-level domains and unsponsored ones. Unsponsored ones have to accept any request to enter into registry-registrar agreement. For sponsored registry operator, they have a right to choose to enter with this or this registrar rather than another one. But I don't know in details what it will be for the future new GTLD operator.
So in short, a new GTLD can be, or you can register a domain under new GTLD via ICANN accredited registrar only, would be the clear given thing.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, but it means a registry can own a registrar the opposite. Yeah. But
hello, my name is Hilal from the Telecom Regulatory in Oman. My question to you is, this is regarding the CCTLD.
Yes.
We know this is the common practice or the basically the best model to have registrar, registry, registrant.
Mm-hmm.
In case of CCTLD, in case that there is not qualified registrar, can the registry be registrars as well or not?
Yes, there exists some CCTLDs where the registrant can directly go to the registry operator to apply for the registration of a domain name. There are different models. Some of them you have to go to the registry, there's no other choice. Some of them they exclusively use a registrar system, so the same as for GTLDs, and some even have both systems in parallel.
But it would be accepted through ICANN regulations.
But it's not ICANN that determines how a CCTLD
will be managed,
must work. That's the CCTLD that decides that itself in conjunction with the, in compliance with the local legislation and most of the time in conjunction with the local government.
Thank you.
Gary Camber from Jamaica. TLDs are done by different independent bodies.
Yes.
For GTLDs, is it the sole? Is it solely done by ICANN? Is there any other body which is involved, or is it something that is done specifically by ICANN?
But there is a registry operator for each GTLD as well. Some existing GTLD were already existing before ICANN and with their registry operator. Some of them have been created after ICANN was created, and there was at the time in 2000 and 2003 that there were two rounds where ICANN allowed the creation of a limited number of GTLDs. Some entities apply for the creation of several GTLDs. Some of them were accepted, and the applicants that could demonstrate they could operate a registry operator became registry operator for one of the GTLDs they applied for.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
My name is Victor Donner. I'm an ICANN Follow alumni from Cameroon. I'm deeply interested by the domain name industry. There is around 2,000 ICANN accredited registrar, but there is only 5, if I'm correct, in Africa, mm-hmm. for more than a billion person. So I don't know if ICANN can set up a process like joint support agreement, the joint support agreement process that had been put on in place during the new GTLD application process to support developing country to get involved in the process. So mainly, how I can help company from developing world to become ICANN accredited registrar, because the business environment is not the same. I go through the ICANN accredited registrar document, the area, but it's not really simple for a company from the developing world to fulfill all insurance or other financial requirements. Thank you.
I'm going to answer in two parts. I mean, if you have considered accrediting your company and have seen some obstacles on your way, maybe you should talk to me directly. I'm going to say face to face, and then we can see if there's really an obstacle, if there is a way to solve the problem, because each applicant may have its specific problem, so it's very difficult to give a general answer there. What I can say in a general answer is that, so there is a policy which is called the Statement of Accreditation Policy that sets the criteria any entity that wants to apply for accreditation must fill in. ICANN as such, I mean the ICANN staff, as any other policy, may not just decide to change the content of that policy. That would have to be started by the GNSO and to follow a policy development process. And in that situation, if they initiate a change to that policy, let's imagine that an applicant needs less liquid capital, or that an applicant needs less insurance coverage, then such a process, if it goes to the end, would allow a change of that policy. But as long as it doesn't happen, as a member of the ICANN staff, I have to stick to these policies as well. But come to me later, and we will see which problem you exactly had that made that you haven't applied yet for accreditation.
Just one thing that may help to the whole overall conversation here. Within the new GTLD scheme of things, there is also support for developing countries. And that we will touch on that slightly in the upcoming presentation.
Okay. Alok Prakash from USA. You mentioned in a previous answer something about a sponsored global TLD and unsponsored. Can you give some concrete example? That's one question. Second question is, can registries be registrars, and can registries be exclusive registrars?
Okay.
There is no other, you know.
So first part of the answer, that only concerns the currently existing GTLDs. You have the unsponsored GTLDs like .info, for example, where, as I said earlier, any ICANN accredited registrar can add these GTLDs to their accreditation. Another part of GTLD registries are sponsored registries because they run a sponsored GTLDs. Why sponsored? Because there is a specific charter with conditions for registering domain name under that kind of GTLD. And these registries have a higher freedom to choose which registrar they accept to work with. An example of such a GTLD is .museum. Now, as far as new GTLDs are concerned, there is no such distinction of sponsored and unsponsored GTLDs in the applicant guidebook. Other kinds of distinction are made, like community-based, geographic TLD. So I don't know in details if what freedom, what level of freedom the future new GTLDs will have in accepting this or this registrar. So your second question, in the contract of the currently existing registries, a registry cannot own more than 15% of an accredited registrar, and a registry cannot act as a registrar. These provisions are what makes the vertical integration. In the applicant guidebooks for new GTLDs, this vertical integration has been removed. It means basically that a registry will be able to own a registrar or the other way around. Now, I'm not sure that the same legal entity will be able to be at the same time registry and registrar. And in any case, if it's possible and that entity that is a registry also wants to be a registrar, it would have to follow the ICANN accreditation process to become a registrar.
The question was, can a registry be exclusively the only registrar for its
as the same entity, no?
I don't think so.
Well, let's move on, because next one will be Carla talking about registries. Maybe some of the questions will also be answered through the presentation, and you can take questions at the end.
Maybe.
Just maybe. Thank you, Steve.
There will also be some sessions specifically about new GTLDs. So if you have specific questions about the content of the applicant guidebook, I think this is the place where you should ask them.